Very good. Thank you very much, Wes. Okay, in regard to our prayers, we need to be in prayer for Tish as she continues to battle cancer, and need to be in prayer for Nathan, and as he battles the military waiting, and Amber, need to be in prayer for Amber, need to be in prayer for Alicia, and any other prayer requests? Yeah. Pat, need to be in prayer for Pat. Like you to be in prayer for my friends Tony and Dana Puglisi. They need your prayers. Very much so. Mickey Bell needs your prayers. We can scratch praying for Steve. He did come. On your back. Okay, let's begin with the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the wonderful opportunity we have to come before the throne of grace in prayer, to let our request be made known to you, to communicate with you, to talk with you, and to know that you are God who listens to our prayers. You desire us to constantly be in prayer with you. There are things that are a mystery about prayer. There are things that can be confusing about prayer. Except for one thing, Father, we trust you. We trust you. And therefore, Father, the prayer becomes dynamic. And now, Father, we pray that your Spirit will open our eyes to the things that you would have us to see now in regard to prayer and the greater works and prayer in general. The Spirit, open our eyes to the truth. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we ended up last week looking at some observations on prayer. Doc, how you doing tonight? Good. Some observations. One, prayer is addressed to both Jesus Christ and to God the Father. Two, prayer is answered by both Jesus Christ and God the Father. Three, prayer is offered in the name of Jesus Christ and answered in His name. Four, there are passages where God the Father answers the prayer without mentioning, in the text, mentioning the name of Jesus Christ. Five, in these passages, to ask, it is both the present and the aorist, noting the continuation of prayer. And so we have the various tenses related to prayer. Six, there are various conditions in the answering of prayer. Asking in the name of Jesus Christ, asking God the Father, if we abide in Him, and my words abide in you, we keep His commandments and do what is pleasing in His sight. Two or more come to agreement upon the request, and if you pray, believing. And then point, major point seven, let's note the answering of prayer, and we noted a number of passages, and with the word to do, and the verb to give, in other words, Christ or God will do, they will give, we will receive, we have the request, it will be done. So we noted those kinds of statements related to prayer. Now, pertinent passages related to prayer and the epistles to the church. Let's take a look. We left off at point four. Point one, there are many prayers by Paul where the one whom the prayer is offered and the one who answers the prayer is omitted. Yet it seems that Paul has well established that prayer is addressed to God the Father, Romans 10:1, Romans 15:30, 2 Corinthians 9:14, 2 Corinthians 13:7, Ephesians 1:6, Philippians 4:6, Colossians 1:3, and the early church prayed to God the Father, Acts 12:5. Point two, we should pray in the power and leading of the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 6:18, Jude 1:20, in faith, 1 Peter 3:12. Then 4:3, congregational meetings for the purpose of prayer was a vital part of the first century church, Acts 2:42. Now we begin tonight with point four. Point four in dealing with some pertinent passages in the epistles to the church that deal with prayer. Having a set time for prayer is not in itself a violation of the principle of prayer, nor is it a violation of the law of liberty. Doesn't mean you don't pray without ceasing, but having a time, like we have a time set for worship, that's not legalism. So we can organize our lives in this respect. Having a time for prayer is very much in fitting. Let's look at Acts 3:1. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Acts 3:1. I think we did do point four last week. Yeah, I think we did do this. Now, Peter and John, when I read it, I realized. Now, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the ninth hour, the hour of prayer. Then chapter 10, verse 30. Chapter 10, verse 30. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago to this hour, I was praying in my house during the ninth hour. Ninth hour is the time of the prayer. So this is a bona fide function. Then Acts 16:13. Acts 16:13, and on the Sabbath day we went outside the gate to a riverside where we were supposing that there would be a place of prayer. And we sat down and began speaking to the women who had assembled for their prayer time. So, but you don't want to build any real dogma out of these verses, and I want to emphasize that. It's very dangerous to build dogma out of the book of Acts. That's very dangerous. Some people do it, and to harm, to legalism. So you don't want to build any dogma out of these verses requiring a time and a place or a position. There are passages that mention praying on one's knees. Let's look at Acts 9:40. I know we didn't do this. Acts 9:40. Acts 9:40. But Peter sent them all out, knelt down and prayed. Turning to the body, he said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes. When she saw Peter, she sat up. So he got down on his knees. That doesn't mean that that's the only way that we can pray, but there's nothing wrong with it either. Sometimes people that do understand freedom get very self-righteous about people who do certain things like that. And there's nothing wrong with it. It's just that it's not a dogma, a position of prayer. Chapter 20, Acts chapter 20. Jump over near the end of Acts. Acts 20:36. Acts 20:36. And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. So the kneeling down and praying is not out of line. Chapter 21, verse 5. And when it came about that our days there were ended, we departed and started on our journey, while they all, with wives and children, escorted us until we were out of the city. And after kneeling down on the bench and praying, we said farewell to one another. So the position of kneeling down is there's nothing, God isn't here more. I know in my own life sometime I will do that. It's for my benefit of concentration. Maybe things are going on in my life and I need to just give it unbelievable concentration. And so that's a good way to just be in full concentration of prayer. Praying with lifted hands. This one's in 1 Timothy. Let's look at that. 1 Timothy. Probably Mark. No. Let's see. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And we want to look at verse 8. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. Therefore, I want the men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath and dissension. Now, you got to have holy hands before you can do this. And no wrath. Of course, the wrath and all is your attitude. But holy hands, I guess that means they're not like this at somebody. There are just a lot of these kind of verses that you don't want to build dogma on. And you want to be careful in dealing with the Bible. I know people that take a verse that's just one time in all Scripture, in all of the New Testament, that deals with confession having anything to do with recovery of sins or anything like that. And people have made that the dogma on what you got to do to be filled with the Spirit. And yet they'll come across passages like this and greet the brother with the holy kiss, which is in several different places. And they just, you know, shun all of that. Oh, no, that. So you want to be careful with your dogmas. And there's nothing wrong with raising the hands in prayer. There's nothing right about it. There's nothing glorifying about it. God doesn't, oh, look, they got their hands up in prayer. So, but I'll know sometime I'll be flipping through and then they'll be praying with their hands up. But that's more my heritage. And I probably shouldn't have that attitude. I ought to just click it off and move on. Let them do that. I hope they're in the Holy Spirit. That's all I can really hope, is that they're in the power of the Spirit by faith. So, again, these are not mandates. On your knees, with your hands up in the air. These are not mandated for all the Christians, for all of our prayers. We should be in prayer day and night. And let's look at 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 3:10. As we night and day keep praying most earnestly that we may see your face and may complete what is lacking in your faith. Okay, so here he prays both night and day. And as you get older, Jim Passmore has fewer hours of the nighttime because he goes to sleep. I'm just kidding. But so there's night and there's day, and there's we pray without ceasing all the time, and that includes those things. Okay, point five. It's just for your information. It's a pastor's responsibility to pray and to study the Scriptures. It is his responsibility. It's your responsibility. We've seen that. But the specific declaration in regard to the function of the pastor to pray and to study the Scriptures. Let's begin with Acts 6:4. Let's look at Acts 6:4. Nope, not on this one. But when we get to some of the epistles. All right, Dr. Luke, I have no problem. Yeah, Dr. Luke. Luke, now that I think about it, is accredited with Acts, and he, believe it or not, if you just take the words, he has more words by Luke than even by Paul. And that's just amazing. And, The Gospel of Luke and Acts, and there's more words in that than in all of Paul's writings combined. I just found that interesting. But when you think about it, Galatians is just 6 chapters, Philippians 4, 5, and so, and Luke's, you know, it's way up there, and a lot of Luke has, you know, 50 verses in it. So, anyway, okay, let's look at Acts 6, 4. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. This is just a very short verse, very powerful verse in dealing with the pastor. And this is what they devote their time to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And this is why Paul will talk later on about how it's not wrong for the pastor to receive money. Because he should devote himself to the prayer and to the word. All right, let's go to Colossians 4. Let's go to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, verse 12. Colossians 4:12, Epaphras, who is one of your number, a bondslave of Jesus Christ, sends you his greetings, always laboring earnestly for you in his prayers, that you may stand perfect and fully assured in all the will of God. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Second Timothy 1, verse 3. 2 Timothy 1, 3. I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers, night and day. Paul was very much into prayer, both night and day, night and day. And finally, 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, got to go back toward the front now. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse 2. We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers. Paul receives joy and gives thanks that believers are walking by faith in the Holy Spirit and expressing spiritual love toward one another. As we look at some more things I want to look at, while in context, it is Paul who is praying. Not only can a pastor pray these prayers, but believers should also have these at their in the forefront of their thinking about prayer also in praying for one another. Okay, under point 5, so point 1, he should be in constant prayer for those he teaches. He should be in constant prayer for those he teaches. Every pastor should be in constant prayer for those he teaches. I find that my prayers for you come at the point of studying, sometime in the midst of studying. If something happens with the power of the Spirit, and I'll find myself in prayer, and then at night, before I close out, I'll be in prayer, and I'll be in prayer for you. And And sometimes it'll be for individuals, sometimes it'll be for a collective, and so just different things in that respect. Okay, let's look at Ephesians 1:16. Ephesians 1:16. Pastor should be in prayer, constant prayer for those he teaches.
Day and night.
Day and night. Okay. Do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers. So there he gives thanks for them, but he also has other things that he's praying in regard to them. So it's not just a matter of the giving thanks. He's thanks is along with their being in prayer. Philippians. Let's look at Philippians, the next book. Next letter by Paul, Philippians 1:4. Philippians 1:4. Verse 3, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all. So there's an attitude that goes along with the remembering those that he teaches. And then finally, Colossians, one more book over, chapter 1:3. Chapter 1:3. We give thanks, this is we being his, he and his team. We give thanks to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. And then here he gives a reason, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints. So they're walking in the Spirit, if they've got the spiritual love. Okay, secondly, that they be filled with knowledge. This is one of the things that he prays now, that they be filled with an understanding of the text. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. Colossians 1:9. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. It's a powerful, powerful prayer. So it's depending on their walking by faith in the Spirit, and the teaching of the truth by the pastor is what would have to go along with that understanding. Point sub-point 3. That he continue to teach all that is necessary for them to walk by faith. Now he's got a prayer for them, but it's related to himself, that he will continue to teach what they need to continue the walking and living by faith. 1 Thessalonians 3:10. So let's look at 1 Thessalonians 3:10. Let's start our reading in verse 9, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 9. For what thanks can we render to God for you in return for all the joy with which we rejoice before our God on your account? In other words, they give him joy. And I do not mind telling you that it is often that I'm in prayer just for those of you right here, not those that come on Sunday. And I do pray for them too, but often I'll just pray for you, and thankful I am that you come on Tuesday, Wednesday night to hear and grow here. So this, you're a very personal part of my personal prayer. For what thanks we render to God for you in return for all the joy with which we rejoice before our God on your account, as we night and day keep praying most earnestly that we may see your face and may complete what is lacking in your faith. So it is to have more understanding of Scripture, more understanding of the challenge of walking by faith. So this is a powerful prayer by Paul. Four, subpoint four. He prays that they may be found worthy of their calling before God. This is a pastor praying that the people who listen will be found worthy of their calling before God. Let's look at 2 Thessalonians 1:11. 2 Thessalonians 1:11. To this end, also we pray for you, always, that our God may count you worthy of your calling and fulfill every desire for goodness and the work of faith with power of the Holy Spirit. So just in effect praying that they will walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. And then finally, point five, pastor, all believers should go into prayer concerning spiritual fellowship with those that they have fellowship with. So let's look at Philippians chapter 4. Excuse me, not Philippians, Philemon. I'm sorry. Philemon. We haven't done much work in Philemon. It's after Titus. It's the last book by Paul before Hebrews. Philemon is written to a slave owner. And the slave has run away. The slave is a believer. And Philemon's a believer. So Paul is writing in regard to dealing with the slave. So Philemon chapter, 1, is only one chapter. And let's read verse 4. I thank my God always, making mention of you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. And I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you for Christ's benefit. For I have come to have much joy and comfort in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, brother. So this is a reference to fellowship, the joy that they have together. Okay, Major point six. Prayer was offered to God for Christians who are suffering. Prayer was offered to God for Christians who were suffering. All right, let's look at Acts chapter 12. Acts 12:5. You can write it down and then we can turn to it. Acts 12, verse 5. All right, Acts 12:5. So Peter was kept in the prison, but prayed for him, and was being made fervently by the church of God. So they were praying for him, even though he was in prison at that time. So this is a bona fide prayer when people are suffering. Point seven. Some of the circumstances in which believers would pray together. Some circumstances where believers would pray together. All right, one, when they met together for worship. When you meet together for worship, you pray together. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Acts 2:42. And they continually devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. So it's a wonderful time when you assemble to pray as part of worship. Secondly, at the recognizing of those who would serve officially in the assembly. Recognizing of those who would serve officially in the assembly. Acts 6:6 gives us another occasion of prayer. Acts 6:6 And these they brought before the apostles, and after prayer, these are leaders of the church, and these they brought before the apostles, and after praying, they laid their hands on them. Laying their hands on them was recognizing them as their authority in the pastor or shepherd. So this was a time in which things were done in prayer. Kind of get the idea that just in everything we should do it with prayer. Whatever we're doing, we do it with prayer. So also chapter 14 of Acts. Let's look at chapter 14. Chapter 14, verse 23. Chapter 14, verse 23. And when they had appointed elders for them in every church, having prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. Okay, so the ones that they are ordaining, they have believed in Jesus Christ, and so they prayed. And to pray with fasting is to pray without giving up a time frame of eating. That's what the fasting is. So there's that prayer time. Let's see what three, praying for another believer who is suffering. And we read Acts 12:5, and actually we could have read it's right here, Acts 12:12. Let's see what Acts 12:12. We read Acts 12:5. So Peter was kept in prison, but they prayed for him fervently. And verse 12, and when he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, who was called Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. So this is a time together in prayer. Four, parting from each other. And we've already read Acts 21, verse 5. We can just turn to it very quickly. Acts 21, verse 5. And when it came about that our days there were ended, we parted and started on the journey while they all with wives and children escorted us until we were out of the city. And after kneeling down on the bench on the beach and praying, we said farewell to one another. So they escorted, went, walked with them, and then they went into prayer as they parted. Probably the prayer was for a safe journey, seeing each other again, these kinds of things, and safe ministry was probably the heart of that prayer. And then five, men come together with prayer, and it's rather interesting, without wrath or dissension. Without wrath or dissension. 1 Timothy 2:8. 1 Timothy 2:8, and we've already looked at it, but let's just very quickly, 1 Timothy 2:8, just to remind us. Don't know when we'll be this way again. 1 Timothy 2:8. Therefore I want the men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath and dissension. So ladies, we kind of gather, I guess, that when men got together, there was some wrath and dissension that broke out. So I'm not sure how much we can build out of that, but men may get more prone to doing that. So, all right, point eight, major point eight. Some prayer requests recorded in the epistles to the church. That'll give us some ideas. One, Paul prayed that he may be able to come to some assemblies to teach. Now, this is one that we have noted in Romans. Let's look at Romans 1:10. Romans 1:10. I remember it when we start reading it. We've studied this. Romans 1:10, verse 9, for God whom I serve in my spirit in the preaching of the gospel of his Son is my witness as to how unceasingly I make mention of you, always in my prayer, making requests, if perhaps now at last, by the will of God, I may succeed in coming to you. He had tried to come to them before, but it didn't work, so he prayed in going to them. Now, I've been in prayer about going to Tucson. I've been in prayer about going there, the travel, the health, and the communication, and the fellowship with John. And that has almost been a daily prayer now for some time, as just getting ready to go to Tucson. Secondly, prayer for the salvation. Prayer for the salvation of unbelievers. It's a very much bona fide prayer. Romans 10:1. Romans 10:1. If the rapture doesn't occur and I don't die of old age, we might get to Romans 10:1. John's already in chapter 5, doggone him. All right. I'm going to ask him how. I'll start in on a verse. Like, I thought I would finish these last four or five verses of Romans chapter 1 in one verse, in one shot. And then I start working, and I start looking, and I just, there's this, and there's this, and there's the thing that God is doing, and the thing that Satan is doing, and what happens to us when we deny God, and all of these things start coming together. And I've got to teach it. Okay, secondly, prayer for salvation of unbelievers, chapter 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for them is for their salvation. It's that simple. And that's a bona fide, wonderful prayer of the greater works, to pray for the salvation. This is what, if you don't have anything to pray for, it's what you want to pray in regard to the Rieslings. You can pray this every day. You can pray in regard to yourself, that God will lead you to somebody to give them the gospel. You can pray about some family member, some friend, that for their salvation. Sub-point three, pray to God that others do no wrong and do what is right. In other words, in the power of the Spirit, 2 Corinthians 13:7. Let's see how it's worded in 2 Corinthians 13:7. Not 1 Corinthians 13, that's the great love chapter, but this is 2 Corinthians 13, verse 7. Now we pray to God that you do no wrong, not that we ourselves may appear approved, but that you may do what is right, even though we should appear unapproved. Now, got to kind of deal with the history of all of this that he's dealing with and how he's being attacked by the religious crowd. But, in effect, he's praying that they will walk in the power of God the Holy Spirit. Point four, that others have happiness as the fruit of the Spirit. That others enjoy happiness. 2 Corinthians 13:9. 2 Corinthians 13:9, right here where we are. For we rejoice when we are strong, you are strong. This we also pray for you, that you be made complete. And complete is a picture of the whole, all the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's a fruit of the, all of the fruit of the Spirit. This happiness that we pray for believers is Galatians chapter 5. Let's look at Galatians 5. Just a few pages over. Galatians 5. 22 and 23, of course. But the fruit of the Spirit. So whenever he prays these things, you're praying that they're walking in the Spirit. I pray a lot of times that certain people will learn how to walk in the Spirit by faith. That's the it's like I pray for their salvation. Mine would be that I pray for their salvation too, for their understanding how to be filled with the Holy Spirit by faith. I've prayed this about pastors that I know, friends that I know, people that I know. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. So no matter what the legal system that a person lives under, they can walk in the power of the Holy Spirit and experience these things inside of them. There is no law experiencing these things inside of yourself, but they're fruit of the Holy Spirit. And that, by the way, is putting on Christ. That's putting on Christ. So like prayer for the unbeliever for salvation, this is prayer for the believer. Salvation or deliverance by faith in the Holy Spirit. Subpoint 5. Pray that eyes of the believer will be open to the truth. Pray that the eyes of believers will be open to the truth. Ephesians 1:18. Let's look at Ephesians 1:18. That's what I pray in regard mainly to the Sunday morning. 1:18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. This is a bona fide prayer. 6. Prayer that spiritual love may abound. Prayer that spiritual love may abound, which is dealing with this one aspect of the Holy Spirit, that it may abound. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. Philippians 1, 9. It's a bona fide prayer to pray that somebody would be in the power of the Spirit. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment. So this is praying that they not only be in the Spirit, but that as they grow in their understanding of things, that this love will even abound even the more so in that realm. 7. Now we've dealt with this in a different text, but I got a different text this time. Pray for those suffering. Pray for those who are suffering. James chapter 5. Now we've got to find the book of James. Book of James chapter 5. If you find 1st and 2nd Peter, you've gone too far. James 5. 13 and 14. James 5. 13 and 14. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him. Anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. This is another one of those kind of passages that I like to deal with people who make this big deal out of 1 John 1:9. Hey, wait a minute. Why don't we do, you know, if you're going to use that kind of dogma exegesis there, let's be consistent. Yeah, oil them up. And all right, 8. We can actually pray for each other's health. We can actually pray for each other's health. 3 John. All right, let's find 3 John. Go toward Revelation from where you are. 1st and 2nd and 3rd John. This is a small little epistle. 3rd John. Have a little Bible drill tonight. Right? Find out where Philemon was. And now we find out where 3rd John is. 3rd John chapter 1. Well, there's only one chapter in 3rd John verse 2. Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. So this is just dealing with the body. And there's a bona fide prayer for praying for someone's health. And that's why I always ask you to be in prayer for my health when I travel and things. And even here, but especially when I travel. So be careful to notice, just as your soul prospers. Be careful, just as your soul prospers. What if their soul is not prospering in the Lord? What if their soul is not prospering? Now, that doesn't mean we can't pray for their good health. But you don't want to add, as your soul is prospering in the Lord. Because if their soul is not prospering in the Lord, you may be praying some bad health. Oh, no, their soul's not doing good in the Lord. And you're praying their body will follow their soul. So that will not work unless that's what you want to pray, because you want whatever God is going to do to get their attention. And you want to be careful with that kind of prayer. Okay, major point 9. There will be times in your life when you will not know how to pray. There will be times in your life when you will not know how to pray. But when we are in prayer, the Holy Spirit will pray for us. There will be times when you will not know how to pray, but when we are in the power of the Spirit will pray for us. Romans chapter 8, 26. Let's look at Romans 8, 26. Romans 8:26. And in the same manner, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. So the Holy Spirit takes over. I had a friend in college, and she roomed with this other gal, and this other gal was a Catholic. And I'll never forget, she said the Catholic came in one night and had too much to drink. And so she got out her beads, and she started to go through them. And she reached the point, she just said, "Father, I'm tired. Let the Holy Spirit finish these for me." I got mad and went to sleep. And she prayed it out loud. And my friend literally cracked up out loud. Let her know she heard her. Okay. Let's see. Christians, point 10. Christians should be devoted to a prayerful life. And there are just so many passages. Let's note just a few. Maybe some that we haven't. Let's look at Romans 12:12. We haven't looked at this one. Romans 12:12. Now the sentence starts in verse 10. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Okay, that's being filled with the Spirit. Give preference to one another in honor. And we did those on one another. You give preference to one another, but you got to do it with honor. You can't just do it begrudgingly. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing now, in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. So we should have a prayerful life. Let's turn to Ephesians 6. Another one we haven't looked at, Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, one of my favorite passages on prayer, 6:18. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And then he says, and pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. This is my request of you when I go to places like Tucson. So this is my prayer. And let's look at Philippians, just the next, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Philippians 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So Christians should be devoted to a prayerful life. Let's look at Colossians, the very next book. Colossians chapter 4. Seems like Paul just runs this with each one of them. He wants to be sure he gets it in. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Here he says, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Now, it got that alert several times, as we've seen, and your mind can start to wonder in your prayer. This is why some people pray out loud. I know that Satan can hear the overt prayers, the audible prayers. So, but if you're just praying in your mind, sometimes the mind will tend to drift. And I think that's one reason that it's good to close your eyes. If you leave your eyes open, you'll notice your shoes need a shine, or a bug's crawling across the floor, or, you know, something's going on. And so it just helps you to stay alert and to keep your mind focused that you're talking to God. You're not just rambling, you're talking with God. So Colossians is very good. Let's turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, the next book. Chapter 3. Okay, the verse that we want is verse 10, but the sentence starts in verse 9 and it deals with prayer. For what thanks can we render to God for you in return for all the joy with which we rejoice before our God on your account, as we night and day keep praying most earnestly that we may see your face and may complete what is lacking in your faith. Just the constant prayer. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 5:17. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Very simply stated, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. It's constantly an attitude of prayer. 1 Peter. There's one. Let's find 1 Peter. It's another book we haven't looked at tonight. So you can find James again. You can find 1 Peter. Chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore be of sound judgment, sober spirit, for the purpose of prayer. That's why you want to walk in the Spirit and keep alert so that you can be in constant prayer. Widows and all who are in a lonely or in some condition that confines you, like maybe illnesses, just being alone, are not without the purpose and use of the plan of God. They're valuable in their spiritual life, and so they should be in constant prayer. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 5. They have a wonderful purpose. They're not useless. 1 Timothy chapter 5. I've known elderly people that I honestly believe God kept them around because they were such prayer warriors. I've known them in my life. I was prayed through seminary by one of these type of ladies. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 5. Now she who is a widow, indeed, and who has been left alone, has fixed her hope on God and continues in entreats and prayer night and day. So this is something that she can have, or anybody that's kind of, well, just combined, can be in constant prayer. Okay, we will, I got so much left here. We will resume here 2 weeks from tonight. We'll not have class next week. I'll be in Tucson. I'll request your prayers through the week and each night. And just so you know, there are 2 hours earlier than we are. So it's 8:37 there, 6:30 there. So before you go to bed, maybe you can pray, and it'll be about the time that I'll be starting to teach. So that'll be good. Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these passages that exhort, encourage, direct in regard to prayer. Pray that we never lose sight of the great privilege we have of being in prayer. Pray for one another. Pray for those in the assembly, Father. We pray for those who are part of this assembly but are away. They don't live here. They listen by the internet, by tapes or discs. We just constantly, continually be in prayer for them. We do not see their face. Some of them we don't even know. But Heavenly Father, they're in the war, in the battle. So we pray. We just praise you for this opportunity of prayer. And pray that more and more, Father, the more we pray, the more we will be prone to prayer, cognizant of things to be in prayer about for one another. Be sensitive toward the needs of each other. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.